Have to throw my notes at you.
So we'll start when you're ready. Okay. We're going to open the House Committee on Human Services and Housing on Wednesday, June 19th, 2013. We'll open up an informational hearing on the Early Learning Council. Thank you so much. Legislators just got out of House session, and some of them also have to testify on bills and other committees, but they will be trickling in. So thank you. Hi, Jada. Come on up.
Madam Chair, can I invite Iris to join me? Can
sure.
We just do the
sure. Absolutely. So we'll have the informational hearing also on the Youth Development Council. So thank you, Iris.
Thank you, Chair Tomei, members of the committee. For the record, Duke Shepherd, I will update you on the policy areas that we talked about a lot some time ago. One bill that moved through here, two bills that didn't but are moving, and that will you'll see either in Ways and Means or on the floor sometime whenever things work their way through the building.
Maybe July.
In good shape, though. So on the actions taken so far, so House Bill 3231 creates the Youth Development Division inside the Department of Education, moving the Youth Development Council and its temporary budgetary home in the governor's office into a new division in the Department of Education. That bill moved policy-wise from through the House Education Committee and then through the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education, is now waiting to go to full Ways and Means. It moved on with one no vote from the subcommittee. House Bill 3234 also moved through the House Education Committee on the policy side. It creates an early learning division in the Department of Education, consolidating the child care division from the Employment Department with the former early learning components of the former commission system, JADA, and OPK from the Department of Education in an early learning division in the department. That left the policy committee unanimously. It left the subcommittee unanimously and is on its way to full Ways and Means. And their budgets, the Youth Development Council budgets, the Early Learning Council budgets, are all wrapped into the Department of Education budget now. So when you see the Department of Education budget, all of these pieces will be within that, separate from those bills.
Will we be able to see what those specifications are for these programs?
I would expect so.
Okay, but you haven't seen that budget.
I have not seen that yet.
Thank you.
And then for the bill that we worked on together in this committee, House Bill 2013, the subcommittee had dashed, had hearings and adopted some amendments to refresh your memory. House Bill 2013 is the legislation that implemented the steps taken in 2012 session to create early learning hubs. The idea is communities coming together with their response, aligning programs, coordinating outcomes to get kids ready for kindergarten. And the bill, when it quickly moved, the amendments arrived the last day, you'll remember here. Originally, it was 5 demonstration projects in the bill. As amended, it now creates 7 demonstration projects in the first year, up to 7 via RFP, and then up to another 9 in the second year of the biennium for a total of 16. The substantive provisions within of what the criteria are within an RFP are largely unchanged from what you all saw in this committee. The amendments to the Dash 8s really rearranged some language around home demonstration projects to better align the language with what was already in statute. It deleted redundant sections. It refined in the amendment that you all saw, created a joint labor management committee for quality for child care settings that are currently publicly subsidized, unionized, non-licensed. And we tweaked some of the language there to, one, make it clear that it was specifically about quality and that it was aligned with state standards for child health, child development and well-being.
Could you state those parameters again? They were unionized, but what did you say, but non-something?
So not...
Not licensed.
It's not licensed. Not licensed. So the shorthand term is friends, family, neighbor care. So this is the employment-related daycare program. Providers who are not licensed providers. So we have provisions and systems and structures in place, because by being licensed, you automatically are engaged in the system in a different way than if you're unlicensed. But this creates a venue within the collective bargaining process that's already in place for there to be quality conversations jointly with the providers and the state about what quality metrics might look like and incentives might look like for those settings.
Did you have something to say, Representative?
Yeah, I just wanted clarification. You said this is the employment-related daycare, ERDC. So ERDC allows reimbursements for people, low-income people, to access child care for either licensed or unlicensed. It's not only for unlicensed, correct?
Chair Tomei, Representative, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have a question?
Yes. So I just want to make sure I understand. They may not be licensed, but they will be unionized?
Chair Tomei, Representative Whitsitt, they are already unionized. That legislative action took place in 2007.
Okay.
So we have two sets of providers under ERDC that are currently unionized. Unionized providers are in one collective bargaining unit. Unlicensed are in another. They have those rights by virtue of state statute, as I said, since 2007. What this component of the bill does is create a structure that we've not had before for discussing and arriving at quality standards for those settings.
So will it merge them then? I mean, you're talking about two different groups. Will it merge them together? So will everybody be unionized? Were they all unionized before or only partly unionized?
Chair Tomei, Representative Whitsitt. So they've two separate groups have been unionized with two separate unions since 2007.
Next week.
Okay.
Would you have a question, Representative Whitsitt?
No, thank you, Madam.
Okay.
So licensed providers are represented by AFSCME.
Okay.
Unlicensed are represented by SEIU 503.
So bad. We gotta make it work.
Okay. Any questions so far? Okay. Thank you.
Additional amendments added in the dash eights were another report back. So there's a report back in the interim. What used to be the interim. So before the 2014 session, and then another report back 2015 with recommendations, with report back on how the hubs have rolled out and recommendations and proposed legislation to continue, enhance, improve, build on what we've learned. Those are really the key components. In terms of the money, I'll just focus on the hub piece and the Partnership Readiness Fund. So that bill had, in setting up the hubs, there's $4.2 million general fund to be RFP'd out to provide the startup operational capital for these hubs to be matched.
Matched
both in kind and leveraged, and at an amount to be determined by the Early Learning Council in their process. They have so far discussed around 25%, which is the match that currently relief nurseries use. But that's I offer that as an example, not a determined figure. And then the bill also establishes a Kindergarten Readiness Partnership and Innovation Fund, which is intended to seed the kinds of partnerships that we've seen at the David Douglas School District, at Earl Boyles, and in Yonkala, where you have a ready school, a ready community, ready early learning providers to do at a school a direct partnership to really better engage providers in getting kids ready for kindergarten. And that's funded at the $4 million level. With the Youth Development Council and with former program funds that were through the local commission system, those funds continue unchanged for 1 year. So if your local commission is funding a program, they get the same amount of money to fund the same programs for 1 year, whether it's early learning or youth. On the youth development side, there's been $1.7 million set aside in a special purpose appropriation, and IRIS will be directed via a budget note, as I understand it, to report back to the legislature in 2014 with what a system plan would look like for deploying those resources since the commission system will be on. that will conclude my update.
Representative Whitsett.
Could you clarify, for those of us who will not have hubs in the more rural parts of the state, can you anticipate the number of people that are going to be laid off at the end of, I guess it's July, when the old programs end and we start looking at these hubs? We have a lot of concern in rural Oregon that a lot of people are going to lose their jobs, both through the nonprofits and, you know, through the state. So could you address that for
us? Chair Tomei, Representative Whitsett. So the actual job losses that could be directly attributed to changes in funding would be, the maximum would be 36, because, or maybe 38.
36 what?
Because the commission system was funded, so each county had an executive director.
Okay.
Those positions won't be funded by the state anymore.
Okay, now, so those are gone.
Now,
Madam Chair, I'd like to, I don't understand. Each county had 1.5 FTE and a minimum of $114,000 for basic grant. Is that not correct, Mr. Shepherd?
So, Chair Tomei, Representative Whitsett. So, as I said, 36, maybe 38. The staffing levels vary from place to place because some places, for example, have lost their commission staff already and they're open. Some places weren't always fully staffed. My point being that the executive staff, the commission staff, are what go away. Program staff, so people delivering direct services in communities, do not, because those programs are funded for 1 year. So the only real change in funding in the near term is what went to basic capacity, funding those staff people. So in Klamath County, Ronnie Lindsay, who worked with us in designing the hub system, the funding for that position is going to be moved over to, in part, support standing up these hubs. But beyond that, there's no program funding that changes this budget cycle. If people get laid off over time because communities decide to deploy the resources for different programs, that's really what always happened, could have happened anyway, if a community made that decision about how to use those resources.
So do our communities lose each county $112,000 then?
Chair Tomei, Representative Whitsett. So I, off the top of my head, I don't want to go down to the specific dollar amount. I would just say that the money that went to, it was a little over $9 million that was spread around 36 counties to provide staffing for local commissions. That money is not being used to provide staffing for local commissions anymore. Those are the only dollars that change. So the clearest example I could use would be that Healthy Start, Healthy Families programs are going to be contracted just as they always have. That relief nurseries will be contracted directly from the state. That program funds that went through commissions to programs will continue to flow through counties to those programs. And that the IGAs are in various stages of being signed and returned, the intergovernmental agreements with counties to keep that money flowing for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd, I have a news release. Beaverton School District Family Resource Center closing after funds cut. The grant from the Washington County Commission on Children and Families paid for two staff members to help people find housing, Medicare, food pantries, jobs, counseling, among other resources. This grant's been discontinued. Who discontinued that?
So, Chair Tomei, Representative Wisdom, nobody.
Thank you.
Can you explain that?
I'd be happy to. That is not accurate.
Yeah.
And there's that news story has generated a substantial amount of activity because, as I said before the subcommittee, the money is continuing as is. And Bill Thomas is here, and he can tell you what his county has decided to do or not do. But the fact is, that money stays in place. If a county chose to do something other than what they've done with it, that's on them. But the commitment has been made by this body, by this governor, to keep that money flowing to those programs for a year, just as the commissions have demanded. And that is simply not accurate. That grant continues.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
This committee, I think the last time these good people were here, We've asked for a list of those grants to be sure that they're continued. I think that's on the record. I do not, to this date, have a list of the grants that the commission system has that are going to stay in place. I do not have a list of the grants from the YDC that are going to stay in place. I'm sorry. We've asked for that. That was the last time they were here. I do not have it. Do you have it? Or does
Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnant, I'm sorry, I can see you're lit up about this. I sent it to your office. I'd go over to my office and get it right now. And as Iris just whispered to me, the new story you just read, another one's been posted saying the grant was restored because it was never, in fact, cut off.
That's very good.
Iris, why don't we hear from you directly?
So, Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnant, members of the committee, my name is Iris Bell. I'm the director of the Youth Development Council. I was just relating to Duke Shepherd that the article that Representative Wisnant is referring to, an article just came out today from that same reporter indicating that the Family Resource Center's funding has been restored and that the Beaverton School District will be deciding how to utilize those funds with respect to the Family Resource Center. So just before I left my office, I saw that article actually come out.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
It was taken away.
No.
You said it was restored.
Well, that's the way the article referred to what happened with the funding. It said it was restored. It was never taken away, but the article sort of was written in that particular vein.
Thank you.
It's hard to believe that a paper made a mistake. Representative Gallegos.
Yeah, I mean, I just got another article here in Washington County and Oregon. And I mean, it's like, I think the real concern is it's somehow these partner agencies. There hasn't been a lot of communication, apparently. And I know that we had a number of letters from constituents in Washington County, very concerned, and I think we contacted your offices. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly that there's a communication breakdown someplace, and these people are, if they're misinformed, they're misinformed. And, you know, and they're coming to us to clarify things, and yet, like, again, there's a problem in communication.
Well, I could only offer that, at least in the midterm, there are commission staff who are supposed to handle that communication. The money goes to local commissions, and they put the money out to programs. So if a program's had it communicated to them that their program has been terminated, when in fact it hasn't, these two folks have no relationships with local programs. That money flows through counties.
Well, yeah, I would argue that we do have responsibility to our partner agencies.
Right. And I would not argue that. My only point is that the expiration of the commission system has been in statute now for a year, and the folks who are paid to talk about the commission system and anticipate its changes, which in the past included the potential for funds to local commissions, decided who got funded, not the state. And so my only offer here is that the same folks who have expressed concerns about continuity can help make the transition smooth.
Representative Whitson.
Okay, I'm still trying to understand. Is this money going to be allocated to the counties, and is it dedicated for these funds, or can these counties that are, like, almost bankrupt down in Southern Oregon take this money and use it for something else? Can the county commissioners take the money and use it, say, for their police patrols or their jails? Or, I mean, I'm still trying to understand, is the money just going to be given to the county commissions, the counties, I mean, as in
the government,
mm-hmm. and they can do with it what they want to, or are they dedicated funds that are going to stay for these resources? I mean, this is a lot of the counties are broke, and so are we looking at receiving money that the county commissioners are going to take and allocate to something else?
So, Chair Tomei, Representative Whitsitt, I think the intent, as I've heard expressed by legislators and throughout this building, has been for those funds that went to programs to continue to go to those programs. Or to like programs, I guess, with the same level of flexibility that they had for the commission system, but this is not sort of to general fund backfill of local counties' need. So, and the intergovernmental agreements reflect that these are funds for purposes for serving children, youth, and families, and that those are the programs that should be will be expected to be funded and reported on.
Okay. Fine. Right. Is that it? No, it's fine. Okay. Is that a sign that you wanted to ask another question, Representative?
Sure, I'll ask another question, Madam Chair.
I'm not inviting you to.
I have several
You're
questions.
You're not encouraging me.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions, Madam Chair.
Sure.
Thank you. Director Bell, the testimony that Mr. Shepherd from the governor's office said is, I'm reading that you're delaying implementation of the YDC. Is that what I'm hearing? And that you're going to report back to us later, and you've got $1.7 million. So you weren't ready to take over this. We worked together. We worked together on an amendment and passed that this committee at the chair's direction. Worked with you to clarify this and came up with an amendment to extend you taking over this responsibility. Is that correct?
Yes. Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnett, members of the committee, exactly. We have captured the essence. The amendments in House Bill 3231 capture the essence of the work that was done by the work group with you as the lead and with Representative Kenny Geyer and Representative Gomberg.
Yes, ma'am.
And so based on that, I can run down and actually give you all the pieces that we worked on that continue and remain in the bill. Right. And that will then have in place for one transition year the same funding streams that are now going to local counties will continue to go to those counties. And then we look at how we do the transition plan and do a community engagement plan throughout the state over this next year in lieu of the transition that will take place a year from now, July 2014.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your willingness to say, you know, we need more time and we want to do this right. Thank you. Director Ruppley.
Can you stay the whole time, Representative? Did you have another
commitment? I had another meeting, but I think this is important.
Okay, I do too, but I wondered if maybe we could hear their presentations and then we could ask questions, because I think I interrupted you and then the field of questions came out. Would that work for you, Representative? Okay. Were you through, Duke, with your presentation?
I am. I'm happy to just answer whatever questions.
But you were through with your presentation. Okay. Terrific.
I guess I could add that we have no opposition to any of these bills in terms of organized stakeholder. Head Start's on board. The counties are on board. You'll see a floor letter that will reflect this when they come to the floor. So we've addressed people's concerns with a variety of amendments and put the process in place that everybody's asked for.
Okay, thank you. And we might have more questions about that, but why don't we hear from Jada?
Chair Tomei, committee members, thank you for inviting me back to be able to do an update for the work on the Early Learning Council. I do have a handout in front of you that does some of the updates to be able to look at. What I wanted to describe is the legislation that we're responsible to. It takes both an internal approach in terms of the redesign of the department into the Department of Education, and I want to tell you some of the readiness factors that we have so that you understand we are ready to deliver this. And then an external in terms of the redesign in terms of the hubs and the change from the commission system. So let me start first to let you know that at the governor's direction, DAS and the Department of Education and the Early Learning Council have been meeting with a cross-agency team since January to be able to look at all the processes, both in accounting, fiscal, HR, and all of those things that need to be done to make this move in many ways. It's been an intense process. We have all the IGAs out with all the 36 counties while they don't have amounts because they're waiting for your direction with the legislation. They all have an amount in place and an IGA in place so that services can continue on July 1, as I promised you probably the last time I was here. The second thing is that there was the decision to look at direct contracts for the Healthy Start, which is a evidence-based program, as well as the relief nurseries, and those contracts are just about ready to go out to awaiting some final things in terms of legislation. So if you look at my, we have basically done the changes from the employment department. We have 2,665 registered family home providers, 1,700 family homes in, and licensed that have all we have ready to go new contracts for them. So we've put several places ready to go. What I wanted to also talk to you a little bit about is on the Remember Ready for Kindergarten is the watchword and the Early Learning Council that we're focusing on. And so as you look at that, starting in September and August, we have the Kindergarten Readiness Assessment ready to roll out in every district in the state. Right now, they're currently involved with staff trainings for kindergarten teachers, district assessment, to be able to gear that one up to go out. Because we share with the Department of Education the third grade reading success for the children of Oregon, we've also worked together with the Department of Education to be able to do part of an 8-state consortium to look at what we do from kindergarten through third grade to make sure that all hands are on deck to be able to make sure that kids can read at third grade. So that's a joint effort that we've already got in place with Deputy Superintendent Saxton and myself and staff. As we look at hubs in the redesign moving forward, both the council, myself, and staff have been out to many community gatherings. They're actually excited. I can name all over the state that we've been in terms of community groups looking forward to be able to do this. We've also met with the CCOs to talk about how they can look from the healthcare perspective to come into the hubs, and they are excited about those possibilities also. School districts, we met with the Vision Council to say what's more important to anyone but an early learning hub that brings kids ready for kindergarten to your district. And so I think we've also gotten that information out to them. They're much more involved and interested, and Washington County is one of those places that superintendents really realize that they have a place to weigh in where they felt that they didn't in the past. So what you will see is the implementation, including a council work group right now, developing the bones of what that RFA would look like. It's based on the report that we submitted to you for the hubs. We also have an implementation schedule in place, so with temporary rules upon the legislation being signed and completed, we'd have temporary rules in place in July. We would have a series of webinars that we're in the process of developing right now for the hubs that would be available both live as well as after in case people weren't able to do that. We have regional community meetings set up. We have a portal. We have technical assistance conference for those communities who want to come together, who think they are ready to write an application for a hub, with a targeted date of November selection, and between November and January that we would be working with these communities to be able to do implementation. At that point, we would look at cycle two for those that were not part of that up to first seven to be selected and start working with some technical assistance on them as well as we help those communities moving forward. And then I think two last things, and I don't really have to go in too much to detail because Duke talked a little bit about those, is that we also, with the OEIB strategic initiatives, there is an early learning element for early literacy for those underserved and closing achievement gap that we would look at with communities. And the council is ready to go looking at working with the OEIB staff on those initiatives to do. And the Kindergarten Innovation Fund, we're looking at criteria that would look at those communities ready to be able to commit to do that. So that's kind of my report. The idea is that we also remember the Race to the Top grant that we talked about from the federal level that was $20 million. The best part of that is not only was that our vehicle to accelerate all of these kinds of initiatives that we have, but we also received notification that they like what we're doing, and we're going to receive an additional $10 million to be able to look at that community and engagement, strengthening families, working on our kindergarten assessment, developing the partnership. So that's pretty exciting news. And it's all basically related to those quality systems that in early learning to make kids ready for kindergarten.
President Flipsett.
Can you describe where the hubs are? How many are located in southern Oregon and how many are located in eastern Oregon? And what is the largest radius for one of your hubs.
Okay. And so Representative, or Chair Tomei, Representative Whitsitt, that's still in the process to be able to be. We're developing that RFA, and I think we truly have said we do not have a pre-planned map. In fact, as a point of humor, is at the last Early Learning Council, there were three different testimonies that brought different configurations of maps. So in the absence of us handing out a regional map, people are creating their own. So what we will do is look at a readiness factor. So those communities that are most ready will be the ones who are the first up to 7 in year one. But remember, what we're doing is we're not cutting off kids and families with those programs, because those places where those monies will still go in the flexible funds to the counties for year one. So we are using the basic capacity money as the innovation fund to set up the hubs.
So I'm going to follow up on your question. Excuse me. My allergies. So do you have a sense, perhaps, of where hubs might be approaching being ready to move?
We have communities that have presented to you in various hearings. We had a legislative session that we shared some of the different, so you could hear from those communities. We don't know, we anticipate that there will be up to 10 applications that consider themselves ready to do, that we've heard from our community conversations. And those are, I think there's actually a little bit of hub shopping going on by various counties in terms of where they might fit, depending on how they want to look at things. And so we really have not paid attention to that, because our process is competitive for those most ready, and we haven't finished that, how it's going to look. So
we hope that they'll be throughout the state, and certainly not concentrated in the metropolitan area.
Exactly. And I also wanted to say is that by the end of year two, that the hubs will represent all of the kids and families in Oregon. So there will be a hub that will address every child and family in those programs. So that's the idea of designing that. We just want to pick those that are most ready to start to begin with.
Madam Chair.
Before I go to you, Representative Wisnett, one of the issues that we talked about some months ago was the data system. And so tell me about that, because that's really going to be important, that the data system would pull together all of these different programs. So where are you in creating a new data system?
Chair Tomei, I'm going to answer on a couple different levels. Is the data system for the hubs will be a simple data collection system that we're going to be able to look at. And then what I'd really like to do is defer to Duke to talk about the bigger OEIB data system, because part of what we're doing is the longitudinal data system where we will tie all early childhood in, but it's still in the creation process with a lot of hands on that one.
Chair Tomei, member of the committee, again, for the record, Duke Shepherd. As Jada said, I think there's the component that we don't have the data piece figured out yet, bluntly. There's the piece of connecting where in the 0-3 space especially, all, you know, you've got half the kids in the state are born on Medicaid. So there's connecting health to human services to some of the education investments. That's one particular challenge. And then there's the bridge to what is the long-term OEIB longitudinal database. So I know there's a funding package related to the OEIB portion of the database in the Ways and Means process. And I would just say that I wish I had a better answer for you on what the data system will look like. It's just one of those challenges that we're, now that we're going to have some certainty about what the structure will look like, that we know we're going to have, I mean, until 2013 passes, in theory, we may never have had hubs. So now we can begin to put together what the requirements are going to be for the outcomes we're going to want, and determine how we can get all this data that we already have to talk to each other. I mean, I think that's the real, I think we've talked about this before, one of the real challenges here is not to construct a new database to populate with a bunch of the same data that we already collect. It's really, we have enormous amounts of information that we don't use well. And so working with you know, Connecticut's done this, where they basically they've taken a federated approach where you have a variety of different databases and you have the ability to look across and extract what you need and make it all work together without a huge capital investment of a brand new standalone database. And that's what we have to do now that we have some certainty on what this hub system is going to look like.
Thank you. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Rubley, you said that, after the first year that every county in Oregon will be part of a hub.
What I said is all children, excuse me, Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnett, what I said is that all the families and the children will be covered through the geographical area in the state of Oregon.
Follow up.
After year two.
Follow up. So, but you're talking now about you're asking people to go out and find their best neighbor and to organize and to be covered by these first seven hubs. You're not going to do that with the rest of the people? You're not telling them you will go here or you will join here? I don't understand that.
Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnett, the first seven will be those that are ready to join together by their own choice,
yes,
and they're doing that. The monies for the flexible funds, which are the programs that you've asked me about several times, are still going to the counties to be able to be used for the programs that they have chosen to use them for.
Follow up, please, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
But what you just said is in the first year, that's what's happened. The second year, you said every child in Oregon will be covered by a hub. How are we going to form these hubs? Are you going to say, you guys have to be one here, and you have to be here, or you have to join there? It's not going to be people are going to say, I want to join you. Is that?
Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnett, remember that we have, in year one, we have the first up to seven, and it isn't seven, it's up to seven that are ready. The second year would be nine more. When we have six up to 16, we will have covered the state to be able to look at that.
Madam Chair, I understand that. I'm sorry, I'm not giving. The first ones you're asking them to develop on their own, the hubs, to find a neighbor and to work. How are they going to come together as a hub?
They would apply.
So you're
in this in year
follow
two.
Follow up.
I'm not sure.
I think I understand your.
Representative Kinnegar,
you want me to ask it in a way that I think that you're asking? So the first seven up to seven that would go in year one are the early adopters. So they've kind of formed their own geographic region. They're ready to go. Perhaps the question is for the remaining 9 or 10. I thought it was 10 more in the year two, but maybe it's 9 more. If there are not natural allies that are coming together in a natural geographic, how will that process take place to make sure that people
are covered
in a hub?
So
early adopters, it's clear they've formed what makes sense to them. It might be along a CCO geography or ESD or something that makes sense. But for those that have not stepped forward and applied and are still out there kind of trying to figure it out, how will you help them figure out what natural compilation should take place?
So, Chair, in other words,
better answer.
Okay.
Well, so I'm going to jump in here. So, Chair Tomei,
was my question,
Representative Wisnett. Representative Kenny Geyer. So I think in an RFP process like this, it's supposed to be a little bit of give and take. So we know, for example, and I will state with certainty that Representative Wisnitz will be one of the early appliers. Whether they're approved or not, it'll be a competitive RFP, but one of the early applicants will be Jefferson, Crook, and Deschutes County. They've decided to go. Now, if they submitted an application, it also had Linn County, I think that the council would need to see evidence that Linn County was truly a part of it and wanted to be. But if they submitted one that all of a sudden left out Crook, I think in a give and take process, the council in approving an application, would say, you know, you seem to be missing a pretty obvious part of your community. Why have you done that? Now, if you have the first seven cover whatever percentage of the state, you will know in the second year that some percentage of the state is not covered. If the give and take process would be, I think, for communities that had to be dragged along. I don't think there will be many from what I have seen. The interest in hubs, the amount of energy that people are putting in and have been for over a year now is, frankly, underestimated in this building because it's moved from we're scared of change to we're ready to go. So if, in theory, a county was not a part of any hub, it would be up to the Early Learning Council in approving somebody's application to say, why haven't you worked with this community? Who out there is going to make sure that this community is covered? The only ability the Early Learning Council has in statute to adjust the boundaries of a hub is to make sure that all kids are covered, so that you don't end up with, say, a corner of Yamhill County that nobody partnered up on. So that in a condition ultimately would be, okay, X hub, you've not taken responsibility for this community. There seems to be some sort of jurisdictional dispute. You or you are going to have to take it and work it out, or we will decide for you.
Representative Wissnant, do you want to follow up on that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I guess that's got where I wanted, because you know, you were saying now they come together because they want to, but my concern has always been we want to be sure that we cover everyone. So you're saying in the future the ELC will monitor to be sure that there's no children or sections or communities that are left out of being in a hub after the first year.
Chair Tomei and Representative Wisnett, that conversation has already... What?
I just need to clarify that. I don't know if I'm mishearing or if I'm not. So Representative Wisnett, you said after the first year. So the intent isn't that the first seven cover the whole state. It's that the total complement. Okay, but that's why I'm clarifying, because I'm not sure I'm understanding where you're coming from on when you said the first year.
Well,
so after the conclusion of the upcoming biennium, the entire state has to be covered. Has to be.
2015.
Correct.
Okay. Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Okay. For the record, Mr. Shepherd, could you tell me what amendments? Six is out now. Five is, you're going to consider five. Is that correct?
It's dash eight amendment, wasn't it?
Chair, to many members of the committee, the subcommittee on education, Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education adopted the dash eight amendments, which are on OLIS.
I don't see them on OLIS.
They are, if you go to the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education under meeting materials for June 11th.
Okay.
So the amendments are on there.
For some reason, they're not under the bill on OLIS.
And I don't know why that is. I only know this because I had to go digging for them myself, and that was how I stumbled upon them.
Representative Wisnett?
So the only amendment we're considering now is the dash 8. Did that combine 6 and 5? And is it, I have 9 dated 10 June. What's the date of the dash 8?
Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnett, the dash 8 was adopted on June 11th, and it consolidated multiple amendments. So there was one amendment to 2013, I believe.
Okay. Follow up.
Staff, maybe you can find that and send it to everybody at some point. I know you can't do it right this minute, but eventually, by the end of the day, perhaps.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Okay, I have two general sort of questions here. I don't have 8, I got dash 9. The dash 9 said that an early learning hub demonstration project must receive money in the 2013-2014 fiscal year, must achieve sufficient outcomes. I want to know how you're going to assure, are you going to monitor that, oversee that, punish that? And the other thing is in the basic bill, and Mr. Shepherd, you and I have talked about that. I'd like to talk again about the local coordinating comprehensive plan. That was a key part of the commission system because it started from the bottom up. You went to the communities and asked what your needs are, what your gaps are, and how you're going to address them. And that's one of the problems I have with the ELC. It's top down, not bottom up. But it was in the A and Gross 2013, but we're long past that. I don't know if that's still in there. If you could talk about those, I'd appreciate it.
So, Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnett, I'll go second one first. All the references to the local coordinated comprehensive plan is holdover from previous statute, so that it's obsolete. It's just still in statute. In terms of the response to the RFP will be the next kind of iteration of that approach. I mean, I think that was one of the strengths of the commission system is the locally driven plan. The difference with the hub approach is rather than having it be you produce a plan, whatever's in that plan is up to you, and here's the money to do it, that there are criteria in an RFP, but the RFP is put together by the community, by the applicants, with in response to the challenge of getting kids ready for kindergarten. So the approaches will certainly vary from community to community. The partners, the lead partners, will certainly vary, but it's ultimately going to succeed if it is bottom up. The criteria and statute are somewhat broad is so that it's not the Early Learning Council sort of imposing a model on every community and saying yours has to look in Marion County the way it looks in Multnomah County.
The kindergarten readiness is the primary goal, and I think that was not true with the commission system, and Iris would know that, and Representative Wisnett would know that better than I.
Well, but Chair Tomei and Representative, in fairness, that was not the common outcome expected of any state dollar.
Right, right. So that's one of the big changes, is kindergarten readiness. And for some, it will be the early, when the home visitor from pre-birth on up to kindergarten and even up to third grade, which is different from the commission system, correct?
Chair Tomei, I would say not only from the commission system, but generally from the resources the state's deployed. Right. The commission system was just one part of it.
All right, thank you.
And the follow-up.
Follow-up.
My other part of the question was how the ELC is going to achieve, again, monitor, oversees, penalize, you know, sufficient outcomes.
Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnett, the Early Learning Council, if you look in the published report, have sample outcomes that they are looking to measure. And so if you look at what it most likely will look like, it's more like a report card in terms of how those outcomes are there. The idea is that, as Duke said earlier, is that programs, grants, and state programs already continue to measure in a pretty comprehensive way some of the things that we will be able to pull and be able to look at. But our goal in the first biennium is to look at a set number of measures, small amount, so that we can report back to you. I think the second part of the question is how are we going to, I think you used the word punish, those that are not doing that. That probably will not happen in the first biennium, but the idea is outcomes need to be achieved in terms of the kindergarten readiness, or we need to spend time with technical assistance to determine what that program looks like and what that community is doing to make sure that they're able to do that. We fully anticipate that many will measure demographics and cultural things that we would not necessarily need to report back to you and to the state, but that those will be available as we build out that system.
Representative
Can I add one thing? I think you will also see the requirements for what the council has to report back on for the 14th session are different than what you will ultimately want to measure over the long term, because for the 14th session, you may have, let's say you'll have the 7 hubs that may have been operational for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be impacting kindergarten readiness. They will have the first statewide rollout of the kindergarten readiness assessment, and they will basically be able to demonstrate their intended response and really their how functional they are as a all. You'll be able to have some sense of how well they're starting and functioning in 14, but if something's only been up for 3 months, the real measurement will come a year or two after that.
Right. Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a few questions, still trying to understand it. It's this enormous task, so thank you for trying to take this on. Related to that, I'm wondering who is involved in the process of determining who gets to be the 7 hubs? Is it your staff, a few people on your staff? Do you open it up? Is there an advisory committee? I'm thinking of the Portland Children's Levy, how we involve people at different stages. We had, you know, systems where we gave points. We had outsiders come in. I mean, what is the process?
Chair Tomei, Representative Kenny Geyer, that's a great question. And the council will be the ones who will determine that. They have a work group set up, and they'll make the final decisions. We're developing those spreadsheets, and the RFA process will be what is called an iterative process. So we will look at a draft RFA out and then be able to look at that, say, what have we missed? to be able to do, and then there will be a scoring rubric to be able to look at the scores of community readiness by basically all of the points that are in the report at this point. We're not looking at expanding out beyond what the work group determined. So the council's really doing that.
So the The work group is made up of staff, people from ELC, and advisory members for the Learning Council?
Chair Tomei, Representative Kenny Geyer, the work group right now was, or the work group that was previous was made up of council members as well as community. It was about 40 people in terms of what they called the proposers and refiners. So they were both people who were proposing program as well as those who were involved in that. In the council role as selecting those communities, that is part of the recommendations that will go there. It's also going to be part of the rubric that we've developed by communities saying these are the things that are important to us, and it will be a decision made by the council. We do have a group right now, and we do staff that, but it is all council members right now making those decisions.
Okay, thank you. Follow up. How about for your innovation fund, Kindergarten Readiness Partnership and Innovation Fund? Will that also be ELC council members staffed by ELC staff with any outside? Who's going to make the decisions on?
Chair Tomei, Representative Kenny Geyer, thank you. I do have the beginning of that. I'm working with a representative committee that would sit down and develop criteria for the Innovation Fund. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the process of requesting that they sit down with us to be able to do that. My proposed plan is that we would create that criteria with this community group across. We're looking at how we would have K-12 representation, early learning school district, and a number of ways to represent, and that they would then propose in this work group to the council to adopt that criteria. So it would be a very open process to be able to look at that.
Thank you. These are going to be very challenging and hard decisions. I wanted to go on to ask bigger fiscal questions. Do you want to ask about the selection process?
No, it's not. It's different.
So I'm also always trying to grapple with, from going from our old system to our new system, you have program dollars that are going to continue to flow roughly the same amount, maybe even a little more for the early learning programs. It sounds like there's a little bit more money in the budget this year for programs. Hopefully there will be a little bit more money for programs that have to turn in data as part of your data collection process, because I don't know whether they've been doing that in the past. That's the program side. So I just want confirmation that that is somewhat more than it's been, at least not any less. And on the capacity building side, we're taking the commission dollars and turning it into either money for hubs, if you happen to be part of one of those 7 hubs, or money that will go directly through the counties. Can you tell me, for the capacity dollar side of it, what was it in the past? I kind of had like a $16 million number in my head. And what will it be in the future? I want to understand whether we've got giving less money for capacity, more money, similar money, just shifting it. And so I'm not in that particular thing, including your partnership and innovation kindergarten readiness fund.
So
capacity.
Chair Tomei, Representative Kenny Geyer. So as a budget unit, early learning is increased across the board in both the governor's budget and now in the co-chair's recommended budget.
And that's program and capacity.
That's program and slight increase in what was capacity, but the basic capacity in the governor's proposed budget was $10 million. And that's basically been divided among a million of the million seven that's going to the special purpose appropriation for the Youth Development Council, mm-hmm. $4 million for the Partnership and Readiness Fund, about $20,000 per county just to cover their processing costs for passing the money through to providers, and then 4.3 for the startup capacity and operations of all 16 hubs. So it's not 4.2 for the first year for the first 7. It's
half of that, maybe, or a little less than half.
That will partly be determined on as the council considers these RFPs, how they choose to staff themselves. Do they have in-kind staff already? There are communities that are raising money and hiring staff already without these funds, so it won't be sort of a block for X number of FTE. It will be include, you know, the staffing pattern should reflect what is the plan in your RFP response.
So the $10 million in capacity funds is, I'm still not thinking the $4 million. The $4 million for your kindergarten readiness innovation fund, are you considering that capacity? Because I kind of consider that something different.
So, Chair Tomei, Representative Kinnegar, I use the term basic capacity because that's what it was called in the budget in the past. It's $10 million of general fund that's being redeployed, 4.2 of it for the capacity of starting up operating hubs. And the rest is being allocated in other ways.
Okay. And what was the amount in the current budget for the commission system capacity? Not relief nurseries, not program dollars, just capacity funds?
Just about nine.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a quick...
Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Association of Counties, are they going to support this? Are they going to give a letter of support? And is Director Ripley, could you give me an estimate of when you came on board and when you think you had, you know, full staff? Was that a year ago, 6 months ago?
Chair Tomei, Representative Wisnant, I came on September 4th. Approximately. And so I've been on staff. We do have, I'm not at full capacity to be able to do that, but I'm probably within about 3 weeks of being at full capacity. We do have a full team working on the hub implementation moving forward, and all hands are on deck to be able to do that. We're looking at filling out some of the other positions not related to the hubs in terms of the early learning system, which is different than that.
Thank you. Good luck.
And can I didn't get a chance to ask your answer your first question. You asked about the Association of Oregon Counties. It's my understanding, I'm not the one circulating this, that there will be a floor letter that will have the Association of Oregon Counties and a variety of other supporters signed on to it.
Thank you.
I have a question about how you're working with the Department of Education. So tell us about that, because this is a new program, but of course it's going to be following kids to kindergarten, through kindergarten, up to third grade. So tell us how the Department of Education is working together with you.
Sure. Thank you. Chair Tomei, committee members, we have a very strong relationship that we, I meet with the superintendent and the deputy superintendent on a weekly basis to be able to talk about how we're going to work our programs together. Their assessment in terms of the kindergarten assessment has probably been that where we have a cross-agency team working together on developing the kindergarten assessment. And then the third piece is, as you'll remember, that the Oregon Pre-K programs and Head Start programs, which currently reside in the Department of Education, have been sitting on the leadership team with the ELC. So we feel that the child care division, along with the health authority and the Department of Education, we're all sitting on a cross-agency team working together for the bigger system.
Great. And I noticed that you mentioned in your handout that talking about the Common Core Standard and the kindergarten partnership with the 8th State Consortium. Tell us more about that. That seems very exciting, especially when Common Core is going to be coming across the country.
We're in the process, Chair Tomei, we're in the process right now, and Doug Costi from the Department of Education, which does all the testing and assessment for ODE, as well as the early learning staff, have been sitting on phone calls with what they call the BUILD Consortium. And so what we did find out is that in these data systems and in this work, that you cannot as a single state apply to be able to do this. You must be part of a state consortium to be able to align those states that are working on early learning standards revision to be able to align with Common Core. And our Oregon Department of Education have several folks who are sitting at the national level and are very well respected in their work that they've done with our schools. So the idea is that North Carolina will be the lead state. They're out recruiting, and they would like very much for Oregon to be a part of this, because they feel like we have the expertise both in the K-12 and that we are working hard on the early learning parts too. So what we will know is a competitive application. It will go in, and we should know by August if we're successful. They're going to award two grants nationally, and we feel like we've joined the strongest team. to be able to receive it. It'd be a four-year federal grant, and we would at that point do some updates to the early learning standards. We would also create instructional points throughout kindergarten, first grade, second grade to make sure that we're on target. So, and then we would also do the training with staff to make sure that they understood that this is what the data shows, this is what your instruction needs to look like to be able to be successful for third grade reading.
Terrific. Any further questions? Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you. I have a lot of questions. I know people don't want to stay here all night. But another one is kindergarten readiness. You had the pilot project, and you're ready to roll that out this coming school year. And I wonder if you can tell us a little about what you found in that and what tweaks you might be making to that.
Chair Tomei, Representative Kenny Geyer. The pilot that happened last year served about 1,200 kids, and they were on a volunteer basis for the various school districts. And what we found is through a grant with the Ford Foundation in terms of a process evaluation, what kinds of things we needed to fix to be able to make sure that we had a statewide assessment that rolled out. We learned that we needed to look at the training in a different fashion, and so we are doing face-to-face training as well as webinars available. They've had training with the district assessment coordinators so that you have a consistent training across the districts, and then also the fact that what we'll have at the end is a consistent reporting out so that we'll be able to look at those results and then put them into, and that's what a back to the data system is. The idea then is you would look at where those hubs might be or how those areas are. So those are communities working together with all their resources to be able to have kids ready for school.
One of the big debates since I served on the Ready for Kindergarten Multnomah County all hands raised effort was around because of there's the literacy, pre-literacy assessment, pre-math assessment, and others, whether there was going to be cultural sensitivity involved, because if certain kids from certain cultures who had not maybe learned skills in the way that were being assessed ended up feeling bad about themselves, you could really do actually a lot of damage with that. So I wondered, I know that that was one of the things that people said, please look to this, you know, when you're trying to collect your information and see how to tweak it, make sure to pay attention to that. So I just wondered what may have come out of that issue.
Chair Tomei, Representative Kenny Geyer, I feel that the Oregon assessment is one that is probably very low-key. You look at other states, they've chosen what I would call high-stakes testing. There is the pre-literacy. There's also the executive functioning. There's the behavior pieces that are really resulting in teachers getting to have that chance to look at kids in a way that they know what their learning style is and a number of things. And so it is not designed to be a high-stakes test. It's really that snapshot. And the hope would be in the conversations that we've had is that if there was a and we also do, I forgot to mention that we do have it in Spanish as well as English, and we're working on four other languages that we would have them available in their native languages. And knowing that there's over 100 languages in the state of Oregon, we won't get to that point, but you're looking at translation. The idea is that it's based on really telling adults what they need to do differently in their classroom to help kids be successful, not to be a failure. And I think that's really what the training is focusing on now, that if you see these scores, what you need to know is this isn't the end. This is not like you failed to graduate. What this is the beginning to make sure that they are successful. And the idea would be is then you look at that in third grade. So it's really a shift in terms of how we bring kids in, what they know at the doors of kindergarten, and then how we really teach for success in the next 3 years to be able to do that. I don't hear any of the other failure parts.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Keep going unless I'm waiting for someone else to jump in there.
See hands over.
Well, I don't want Iris Bell to feel neglected here.
Okay.
Since we have from early childhood to third grade reading, just keep going. Can you tell me from the old commission dollars, you know, I know it's hard to say what the capacity is for you because it didn't used to, they all used to be under the commission, and now you've got the youth development and you've got early learning. But the capacity dollars that you're getting to operate, assuming that the program dollars are still flowing, the capacity dollars that you have to operate compared to what you've had in the past, are they roughly the same?
Chair Tomei, Representative Kinigau, yes, they are. So we will still be able to actually send program dollars back out to communities around the state. No community will lose its funding for this next year as we do the transition, mm-hmm. and we will be able to function with respect to how to help, how to monitor, and how to provide technical assistance for those communities as they move forward through this transition year. So, and one other clarification I wanted to make, I'm sorry Representative Wisnett has left. While I felt very competent and confident that we could do the transition in this year, I had no problem with an additional transition year going forward. I feel like we've captured most of the concerns that were addressed with the work group, and that we also captured the language that the work group wanted in the legislation. And so as we move forward, we do have certain pieces and components of the work group language still in our document, and we will be able to have time certain dates. We will do a report back to the interim committee in January, which will allow us to deliver a report that has a plan for how we will do the funding moving into the next year. And so in the meantime, we are actually going out and we'll be visiting communities around the state, and we'll be doing some focus groups and actually doing some surveying to get the input from a variety of stakeholders around the state, including the providers themselves, the providers in the community who actually will be and are receiving the funding. So we will be hearing back from them with respect to the programs, how programs are functioning, and what then we would be recommending for funding in the next year.
So do I understand, Iris, you'll be reporting back to this committee in January?
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, it was the language simply says an interim committee. So I'm not quite sure whether it's this committee, or I know the same question was asked about the education subcommittee, also asked whether it would be their committee. But we could report
yes,
back.
Yes, we would like you to come back.
That's fine.
Here we in January. If you could note that, please, mm-hmm. that would be great. Mm-hmm. And I would think that it might be better to hear from the Early Learning Council in February to give you a little bit more time. Does that make sense to you, to come back in February? During the February session?
Chair Tomei, yes.
Okay, good. We'll schedule that also. Terrific, thank you. Any other questions? I'll look over here first. Any questions here? All right. Go ahead.
I have a hard question for you, for both of you. This would be too hard for Duke, because I don't want you to have to compete with each other. But if there were more funding available for each of you, where would you want to see the biggest need? Would it be in the building the capacity of the hubs? Would it be in increasing the 20,000, which seems pretty bare bones to me, for the counties? Would it be in the ELC itself for data collection, communication, all those kind of things? Would it be in the direct programs? More money for the direct programs. And likewise for you, would it be more in capacity, or if you had any more money, would you want to throw it to programs?
Chair Tomei, Representative Kinigau, for the council, we're looking at trying to make those targeted, focused investments in communities around the state, and so it would necessarily be in the programs, not necessarily the ones that are operating now, some of the ones operating now, but new investments that are targeted in areas where there is need. And we're looking at what we're calling indicators of need as a means by which to determine the places where we might make those investments.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot to include the innovation fund in that whole, all those different paths. So
Chair Tomei, yes. Increases in all of those areas. Good. I think that I probably would focus on really I want these hubs to be successful and the communities to step up to figure out ways that they can leverage each other's funding and not duplicate efforts. And so to me, that's where the state needs to put its investment is in the communities that are serving those kids and families in a way that we know. We also want to target those kids and families most at risk as well as doing that. And I think that, as we know, dollars are not free-flowing, and so we have to continue to figure out a way to serve families in the best way possible.
Duke, I go back to a statement that you made. I think it was you who made that, that half the children born in the state are on the Oregon Health Plan. And there was another fact that was brought up in on the House floor last week that half the children in the state are not planned pregnancies. It seems like early learning, early getting to parents and children early is just so important in these programs. Pardon?
Family planning.
And family planning, yes, good point. Good point. Any other questions? Thank you so much, and I appreciate you answering the tough questions that we have, because a lot of us hear from our constituents asking us tough questions that we're passing on to you. So thank you so much. Thanks for the work you're doing. It's actually very exciting. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
And
thank you
all for happy with the work you're doing. So we have a few minutes. There are other people here in the audience. Is there anyone here who would like to make a statement or ask a question, or we have a few minutes if anybody is here who hasn't feel like their position has been stated or question has been asked. Calling once, calling twice.
No.
Nobody's interested? No. All right. Thank you so much. We will close the informational hearing on Early Learning Council and Youth Development Council, and we'll close the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. So thank you, Shelley, and...